Welcome back to one of my favorite sports podcasts, Frizzin' the Grizz, with your host Trudeau and my guy, Keith Frizzy Frizz.
Hello, and welcome back to Frizzin' the Grizz. It's your boy Trudeau. Thank you for joining us live Tuesday, April 9th, or the next day on podcast. Hook your boys up. Remember, rate, subscribe, review. Great news. Five times. We're only five views away, records away on podcast to hitting the 1,000 mark. So keep supporting your boys. We appreciate it. Five more downloads. We're there. All the love in the world to y'all. Good show today. We're going to recap some of the March Madness tournament, both men's and women's. We're going to update our tournament of greatest rappers of all time. We got some other stuff for you in the quick hits. But first, D, what's good?
Happy Tuesday. Happy Tuesday. What a do, baby. Been a hell of a week. It's only Tuesday, but you know, the weekend was straight. So how was your week?
Good. It would not be an episode of Frizzin' the Grizz without my phone dinging at least once. So I'm glad we have
every time moment. It does, I'm just gonna yell message, or I'm gonna get the sound. You know what? That's it. That's one of them. I'm gonna get that one right there. Message sound.
Wait to get your soundboard up and running so we can do that. Week is good. Bro. Did you get a chance to like go outside and do the solar eclipse thing?
No.
You don't care?
No, not at all.
Why, you're too cool for school?
No, just not even the least of interest for me when it came to that. It did look really cool outside, though. I won't lie. Like, it was 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Not a cloud in the sky, but it looked like it was dusk. Mm. So, like, I did like that. I was like, I messaged, like, my work group. I was just like, it looks like a scene from a movie outside. But then I was like, I'm going to stay inside. Like, I don't need to mess with that.
I didn't like that, man. I walked the dog and it was, you know, that time. It just felt like I was in a dream. Everything just looked so off and weird. It also got really fucking cold. I didn't know that was going to happen.
Mm. What's it like up north?
It was a nice day, man. It was like 65. But like when that eclipse hit, dude, it got so cold because the sun was blocked out. Mm. Your ass was too cool to stay inside, so you would not know.
I did go outside. I just didn't look at the sun. I literally went on my porch. We have a covered porch. So like I walked outside. The sun was like behind me. I was like, looks pretty cool out here. The dog walked out behind me and I was like, all right, let's go back inside.
I love your enthusiasm for science. I do have something that was fun that I found on the internet this week. I want to bring to you and get your opinion, maybe the audience's opinion as well. I heard of this challenge in baseball, the 9x9x9. Have you heard of this challenge?
No, but I'm very interested now.
All right. Obviously, in baseball, there's 9 innings. That's one of the 9s. Two things associated with baseball. When you think of baseball, what do you think?
Drinking.
That's another one. 9 beers. Mm-hmm. One more. What's the other 9?
Is it home runs or hits?
Hot dogs.
Glizzies.
Glizzies. So there is a thing for baseball people. I don't think anyone could really do it. I mean, I'm sure someone's tried it. 9 innings. Each inning, you must consume 1 hot dog and 1 beer for the entirety of the 9 innings. D, could you do that?
100%.
You could? There's no fucking way.
100%. Absolutely. Yes. Because I would need to have pre-gamed before getting to the field, right? But when I'm there, Fenway Franks, all fucking day. Yeah, like if there's something that I do miss about being up north, it was going to Fenway and being able to just house Fenway Franks or the street vendor sausages. Like that, I miss that shit. I'm not gonna lie.
There's nothing better than the sausage people outside of Fenway Park.
Yep. I'll give that right outside of Game On. You know, game when the game ends, you just you don't even have to leave the stadium. You just smell it on the way down, and you're just like, yeah, it's calling my name. And like one time you'll go over there and be like, all I got is a 10. And they'd be like, all right, here you go. And then like the next time you go, you're like, all I got is a 20. And they're like, all right, here you go. And like there's never a price associated with it because they know that there's just a bunch of drunk idiots that are walking over there. And like as long as you don't say, can I have my change? Like they're just like, all right, Dad, have a good one. And like you just paid $30 for 2 hot dogs. But yes, 100% could do both of those.
The allure kind of ran off on me. I used to, I still work at the place, but my office was right near Fenway. I work from home now, but every day I'd have to walk by the sausage people during baseball season.
Couldn't do it.
And good God, I've stopped a few times. It's 100% worth it, but.
You know why? And like, this is, you know how everybody has these weird like obsessions that you have no idea how you can explain the reason behind it. But like, I have one, and it involves gas station hot dogs.
That's like, weird.
It's very strange. I don't get it. I don't know why, but like, it was like a thing. If I, you know, if I'm driving somewhere and I get to the gas station and I'm like, you actually go inside for something because nobody pays for it inside anymore. You swipe your card, you leave. But like, say I got to go inside for something and I'll look and be like, how long them dogs been on the roller? And they're like, 3 days. I'm like, that's good enough. Grab one, onions, all the ketchup, that's all that, nasty. And just be good. It's disgusting, but it is one of the weird obsessions that I actually have.
Hearing that, I think you might be able to crush the 9x9 because your GI tract must be an absolute champ eating gas station hot dogs. Honestly, I don't think you're getting past the sixth inning. I think you're underestimating how much
a beer
and the hot dog is going to do you in. I mean, I know we watched the guys, the Kobayashis of the world, and Joey Chestnut.
Joey Chestnut does it's nothing.
Pounding hot dogs, man, that sounds tough. I tell you what, next time you go to a baseball game, I want you to try the 9x9 challenge. If you can complete it, I'll pay for it.
I will. We have a AAA team around here. There's no baseball team in the Carolinas, unfortunately.
Okay.
But there is a AAA team, so I'll see if we can go to one of those. If not, I'll try to drive down to like a Braves game and see how that is.
That'd be fun, man. I think personally, I would get to the fifth inning and call it. five hot dogs, five beers. I can't.
It also depends on what the price is, because if you're at Fenway, that's like $200. Yeah. just in participating in that event, $10 per beer, $10 per damn hot dog. So yeah, you're flirting at around $200 just to complete this challenge.
I know we don't talk about baseball on this podcast, but that's one thing I like about baseball. People go to baseball, some for baseball, but others just have a good ass time. And this 9x9x9 challenge really highlights the other half that just want to go there and have a good time.
Ain't that the truth? Preach, man.
All right, let's recap some stories from the week and hit our quick hit segment. It's tough to say. It's really good to go into the segment when I have to talk a million miles a minute, already stumbling over my words.
Let's catch up on some of the sports headlines from the week. It's time for Quick Hits with my boy Trudeau.
All right, trades in the NFL. Stephon Diggs traded to the Houston Texans. Second round pick next year. A couple of subsidiary picks. Nothing big there. NBA, Julius Randle downgraded to out for the season. We have a crazy 50-point game. Malachi Flynn, who? Versus the Hawks on 18 for 25 shooting. Fun fact, Malachi Flynn, the player with the lowest career scoring average to ever hit a 50-point game at 5.4 points per game. Oakland A's are playing the remainder of their games for the 25-27 season in Sacramento as they wait for their stadium to be built in Las Vegas. Cy Young frontrunner Spencer Strider out. See you later in MLB for the Braves. Tommy John surgery. UConn champs in the men's side. South Carolina champs on the women's side. We'll talk about that more later. Angel Reese officially declares for the WNBA. See you later, college. And finally, the last headline from college hoops. John Calipari out of there as well, leaving Kentucky for Arkansas. I'm curious to see why that was. I think that's a mutual, you're going to get fired, I'm leaving anyways. See you later. And that is your sporting updates. All right, D, have at it. Which one do you like?
There's a couple of them that were actually pretty good. First one that I would want to go about because it's the most recent was, and it's relevant, Coach Cal to, he stayed in the SEC. He left Kentucky, and he's going to
Arkansas.
Thank you. How do you, so I'm not even going to say I'm on the fence with this one. I think I'm stuck with how I feel. How do you feel about his tenure with Kentucky? Like, if you could sum it up in one word,
peak too early.
Okay,
that's not one word. I would say he came in hot shot coach. You know, he really embraced the one and done, made Kentucky perennial powerhouse. I think they had a season where they almost went undefeated, and they lost in the tournament. Or they did not go undefeated, yeah. They were just dominant Kentucky for 3-4 years. They were the talk of the town. all over SportsCenter, all over ESPN. And then everyone just kind of caught up with him. The past 5-6 years, they were still obviously very good, producing NBA talent, finishing the top 25, but he never hit that peak that he hit right off the gate. I just think at this point, it's one of those things where Kentucky is a lot like Alabama football, Kentucky basketball, Alabama football. The expectations are very high is what I'm saying. And if you're not, why you're making a stink face at me?
Oh my goodness. Do not disrespect. As much as I can't stand Alabama, do not disrespect them and compare them to Alabama.
Well, I mean it in the respect of the expectations. Like Alabama has one loss and fans want to fire the coach. Kentucky finishes top 10 and produces two NBA players. It's not good enough. They want to fire the coach. So I just think he was not meeting those high expectations. Fan base was getting unruly. He just took the opportunity to take the bag and run when he could.
Okay, I got two words for you, and it's not Degeneration X, I promise. But it is involving underachiever and overrated.
Wow.
Absolutely incredible recruiter. I'll give him that. If you want to compare him to Nick Saban, I'll give you that. But I'm just going to name some names in regards to who he coached. Anthony Davis, De'Aaron Fox, Devin Booker, Bam Adebayo, Julius Randle, Jamal Murray. That's not including DeMarcus Cousins or John Wall. Nerlens Noel, while he was dominant at Kentucky, obviously didn't pan out in the NBA, but college-wise. Will Cauley-Stein, really good player, obviously. Like the names that jump off of the board that he coached. And to only have one national championship, I don't care about the one and done. He did it. He embraced it. I get that. I'll give him a little credit for that. While other coaches like Coach K were against it, Coach K won multiple national championships. Roy Williams won multiple national championships in this era. Dan Hurley, who we're about to talk about, has won multiple national championships. And have not produced as many top tier, not even just NBA picks, lottery picks, guys that are going within like the first five picks of the NBA. And there's no way that you can have that much talent and lose in the tournament every single year. They have like the most losses to double digit seeds. That means that they're just not prepared for the moment. Obviously, when they get to the NBA, they're studs, but that's coaching. And I think Cal will go down as, to me, as a very overrated and underachieved coach because of what he brought to that school and has nothing to show for it for the school now that he's gone. People are going to walk through the stadium and be like, yo, we had DeMarcus Cousins. Last national championship was 20 years ago. Like that doesn't hold weight in college basketball.
Yeah, I just think it's tough to compare because you just talked about Dan Hurley. Obviously, UConn just went back-to-back, right? And forgive my ignorance if I'm wrong, but I don't believe UConn has a lot of NBA talent.
Not right now, no.
I think there is a benefit in college basketball of having experience over the young, highly talented players. You know, the one and done is cool because you get a lot of flashy, very exciting, high upside players. But even in the NBA, like some of these high upside players, you don't see them actually break through until year 2, 3, 4 of the NBA. With Coach Cal in Kentucky, he's having to play these 18-year-old kids, and they're playing against grown-ass men that are 22, 23, fifth-year seniors in some of these schools. So to just say that he was unsuccessful because he only won one national championship, I think it's more a product of the way he built teams, made him susceptible to losses in these very high pressure one and done scenarios.
No.
Okay. Agree or disagree.
I will name. So this is the team that makes me say overrated and underachieved. 2014, 2015 Kentucky Wildcats. You want to hear this lineup? Good.
Let me know what their record was too and how they lost.
I don't have their record. My apologies.
What was the year? I'll look it up.
2014, 2015.
All right.
So this roster involved Devin Booker at the one, the Harrison brothers, Aaron and Andrew at the two and three, Tyler Ulis, who was a great bench player, NBA player, Karl-Anthony Towns, All NBA player, and Willie Cauley-Stein, at the time, lottery pick in 6'10" big that was athletic. You cannot tell me that just because some dude is in the in college for 2 or 3 years more, that that culmination of starters and bench players can't win a national championship.
I mean, you're talking about a team, D, you're talking about a team that went undefeated in the regular season.
They and lost in the national championship. That's what I'm talking about.
D, it's
Zach Edey, one person, 7'4", 300 pounds, brought his team to the national championship.
I'm getting mad frustrated with you.
Good.
Because
you needed this.
You see the NBA and you see 1-8 matchups all the time in the playoffs. And the 8 seed wins a game. You see,
because they're NBA players.
Let me finish this, please. Right. You see the Washington Wizards beat the Milwaukee Bucks in a 1-game sample size. The reason why NBA has 5-7 games in a series, they even went from 5 to 7 because they want a bigger sample size to make sure the best team actually wins. 1-game sample size, you get one team hot from three, or one dude goes off, or weird shit happens in a game, you lose and you're out. You're criticizing a team that lost one game, went 38-1, and you're calling them failures because a 1-game sample size they lost. It's absurd.
So what I'm going to do to talk about that is it's not a 1-game sample size. This is over 15 years of him coaching at Kentucky to get one national championship. That's what I'm talking about. It's not just the 2014-2015 season. It's him being at that school for as long as he was to produce one national championship since 2009. That's what I'm talking about. And that's just one of the lineups. I'm not going back to when he had John Wall, All-American, All-NBA, most valuable player, number one draft pick. Like, I'm not going back to that. I'm not going back. He won with AD.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, oddly enough, right? He won with Anthony Davis, but that was it.
The NBA, the Oklahoma City Thunder, do you believe they're a championship team right now?
Yes.
Okay. Many people would say if you had to pick a team out of the West, not many people would pick the Oklahoma City Thunder. And their one ding on them would be inexperience.
Right. Yeah.
And that is my point with Kentucky. Because when you do this one and done thing, your team is awfully inexperienced. And when you're playing these high pressure one game sample sizes, things are going to go bad because of the types of players you have on those teams. And that's not the coach. I mean, you could criticize his philosophy.
That is coaching. If you don't got your team prepared for that game.
Hey man, the 18-year-old kids.
Give me a break. The 18-year-old kids.
We got way too caught up on this Cal part.
I know. But that was the only one that I was like, yo. I've been hearing it all day of people saying, you know, good for Arkansas. He's going to flip it. And, you know, he was able to do blah, blah, blah with Kentucky. I was like, he didn't do shit with Kentucky. The school, he got a lot of NBA players to go to the league, but one national championship in 15 years, miss me with that, bro. Like, if you want to talk about Bama, they got rid of Nick Saban because he went 2 years without getting a national championship. That's the difference between the two. And on the way to him leaving or being removed from his position, he had won 6 national championships prior. That's not one in 15 years.
All I know is Arkansas is going to be mighty happy because that program is going to be important. They're going to be legitimate now.
Yeah, I'll give
they're
going
to mean
that.
Something.
He can recruit. I ain't going to be mad at the way that he recruits. I'm just saying.
Do you think Kentucky can get a better coach? Like, do you think there's... Okay. No. So it's a lose for Kentucky then, even though...
Yes. Yes, it's a lose because he came in, he did a one and done. He did exactly what the players did. I got y'all one championship in 15 years. Be happy.
I just don't know how he's such a bad coach and overrated, but he's still a loss for Kentucky by losing.
100% overrated for me.
The one thing I was actually wanted to touch on really quick, I don't think you have any interest in it, but you might. The A's thing I thought was really interesting.
Very.
So
I wrote that down actually. Why can't Oakland I know that they're leaving no matter what, but why do they just like, we don't want you here?
Because I believe the ballpark is part publicly financed or something. And the city of Oakland's like, double middle fingers to you. Yeah. If you want to break up with us, no, we're breaking up with you. So the A's are forced to now be homeless, essentially, not have a home stadium. They're playing in Sacramento in a AAA park, and it's like a sad ballpark with 10,000 seats. And trust me, they still won't sell it out.
No, they won't.
And they'll have to wait for the stadium to be built in Las Vegas, which will probably be a couple years from now. Which the one thing I don't understand is, I believe there's a minor league team in Reno, Nevada. Just send them to Reno and start building up the fan base in Nevada, in Las Vegas. But they'd rather play in Sacramento. The whole thing's just, I don't know, Bush, you know, good term for baseball. It's all Bush League. I mean,
being a player.
It's a tough look. And the A's are just the laughingstock of any professional franchise. They have the lowest payroll by far. I think it's somewhere around the 30 million mark. I think it's 20 to 30 million lower than the next lowest payroll in baseball. They've done nothing but lose. They're leaving their hometown and have nowhere else to go. It's just, the whole thing's just a joke. And God, A's just need new ownership.
I don't understand how there can't be somebody that just like breaks the bank with them, because it's share revenue. So like, it's not like they can't max player someone, right? I don't know the phrase, what it is for baseball. They can't.
Well, that's the thing. You're saying, why don't they just go break the bank and get someone? Is that your point?
Yeah.
Because that's the whole point, D. It's revenue sharing. So if, let's just say, I'm going to make the math really easy. Let's say there's 10 teams in baseball and they all get to split. Let's just do $100, right? So everyone's money goes in a pot and $100 goes out to everyone. $10 goes out to everyone. Not everyone's payroll has to be $10. Some people's payroll is $15, which means they're operating at a minus $5 operating cost. Some teams, their payrolls are only $2, which means they're profiting $8. Mm. So the A's are one of these welfare teams that basically refuse to sign players and increase their payroll, and they're collecting checks from the teams that are spending money. So the Dodgers, the Yankees, the teams that have big budgets are actually paying the A's to suck.
That's bullshit, and that's dumb for the league, whoever the commissioner is, to allow that to happen. Rob Manfred. Yeah, I don't care about baseball enough to look too deep into it or research it, but like, that's stupid. That like, there's no team that's like that in the NFL.
Even the Panthers
can't do something like that. What's up?
So the TV rights are all revenue shared, unless the TV broadcast, I believe, is like a regional sports, like for example, the Yes Network is owned by the Yankees. Like, a lot of teams are doing this. You know what the biggest, one of the biggest bullshit is with baseball? If you go online to MLB.com and buy yourself an Aaron Judge jersey because you love the Yankees, that money that goes into that you're putting into buying that jersey goes into the pot that's revenue shared. So the A's are profiting off that. And the worst thing is, because teams like the Dodgers are over the tax, even if they're bringing in a fuck ton of money, they're actually putting extra money into the pot, because they're over the luxury tax. So they're actually paying the poor teams even more than they would normally if they were just...
Because they got Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and...
Yes.
Ohtani. Yes, the dude that bets on shit.
Yeah, so that is why some teams like the A's and the Marlins and some of these bad teams refuse to spend money, because their owners...
Marlins went to the World Series a couple of years ago at least.
That was a while ago, man. That was like 10 years ago now at this point.
Was it?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. But yeah, the A's are going to continue to be a laughingstock of a franchise until their owner sells the team and they get someone who actually wants to win. But right now, they're going to be the Sacramento A's for the next couple of years.
Mm, disgusting.
Yeah, that is gross. Anything in Sacramento, yuck. Dean. Did you enjoy the games this weekend?
Absolutely. Both men's and women's side were very entertaining.
Did you have a favorite?
I mean, for the men's side, I wanted to see Edie go out because like the dude was ridiculous, obviously ridiculously talented. Just by his like his stature, you know, we compared him. We said it's like a more athletic Yao Ming.
No, he's not athletic. He's like a... same athletic or less.
No, he is much more. His feet work. Yao's feet work was very underrated, but Edie rim protection and being able to actually pass out of the double teams. Yao Ming couldn't do that.
That's fine. Rim protection's fine. I watched part of that game. Zach Edey playing perimeter defense when they pull him out makes makes Rudy Gobert look like a sprinter.
Rudy Gobert is not 7'4", 300 pounds. Big difference between the two. But yes, I was pulling for Purdue to pull the upset just because, unfortunately, they didn't get it done. But it's good to see UConn take it down. Around here was pretty cool when it was State versus Purdue. You know, the pride. There was literally a block party in my neighborhood from like the start of the street all the way down the street of cars because everybody was, you know, at their, you know, friends or family's house watching the game. So that was cool. UConn and Bama was, you know, a dominated game by UConn again in the second half. Really cool for, I mean, good first half. Second half was a snooze fest because UConn's just that much better. And then on the women's side, I think both Final Four games were way more entertaining than the national championship game. LSU Iowa came down to essentially one or two possessions. The unfortunate foul out with, oh my goodness, Angel Reese fouled out, offensive foul. That, you know, who knows if that actually happened or whatnot. And then the UConn USC game was really good. You know, I like the Juju Watkins versus Paige Beckers back and forth. Came down to again a couple of possessions at the end, and UConn pulled it out. And then the national championship, UConn and SC and Iowa. That was just a great matchup, great game. But it just came down to just Dawn Staley's team being absolutely dominant. So it wasn't as entertaining. We'll say that.
Yeah. I mean, South Carolina, we were talking before the show about what this women's South Carolina basketball team could be historically. I brought up the, you know, many season undefeated UConn Huskies. I asked Dave, this South Carolina team was better than him. He said, no, they went like 4 years without losing. But I was posing the question to you before the show, could Dawn Staley and the South Carolina team become this dynastic team that rolls into next year, not losing a game, wins into the national championship? Because a lot of the contributors in this game, you know, outside their star player, were young, you know, freshmen, sophomores who will be there 2-3 more years.
They had to be, because their entire class last year went to the WNBA. Their starters went to the NBA outside of Cardoza. But I think your comparison, I think, is going to be more for me. I said I'd wait for this. Is more the Golden State Warriors run. Win a championship, lose a championship, win two. I think that this is theirs versus like a Chicago Bulls, which is what I believe UConn was with Breonna Stewart. The Bulls ripped off three straight, and the only reason why they didn't win a championship, a fourth one, is because Jordan retired both times. Like, they could have easily won four in a row in the early 90s, and they could have easily won four in a row in the late 90s, but Jordan retired twice. And for UConn, it was that run with Breonna Stewart and Gino Auriemma coaching. Like, they were just undefeated for four seasons. SC, although they, you know, they only won, lost 37-1 last season. The one loss was to Iowa and Caitlin Clark in the semis. Like, that's still a great run, but I think this is similar to the Warriors winning their first championship. Then they get the 72-9 season, lose in the finals, and then they rip off two more championships, right, with KD, obviously. Not saying that somebody's coming in to be KD, but just the team aspect of win one, lose one, rip off two more because of how dominant you are.
Yeah, the craziest thing about the South Carolina-Iowa game, I think Caitlin Clark was still pretty good. They made life hell for her. They threw a lot of double teams. They threw everything at her. She still put up 30. It was pretty inefficient scoring, but, I mean, she tried to will this team to win. You know, looking at this Iowa team all year, it's been the Caitlin Clark show. No offense to the ladies on the team with her, but they're obviously not at her level. And South Carolina really exposed that in this game. If you look at the bench scoring, I just wrote it down really quick. The bench scoring for South Carolina, they scored 87 total points. Of that, their bench scored 37 of the 87. Iowa scored 75 points. Do you know how many bench points were put up by Iowa?
I'm going to go ahead and guess none because they couldn't really put their bench in.
A big goose egg. Their bench played a total of 18 minutes in the entire game.
Yeah, you couldn't. You had to keep your starters out there. You just had to. Although women's basketball a little different because they get quarters. Yeah. I think it's a little easier for you to just sprint for 10 minutes than it is to sprint for 20. So I think there is a little bit of a difference with that. I apologize because I misspoke. When I wrote, I'm used to seeing USC and thinking the Trojans. I talked about Juju Watkins at UConn earlier.
Yeah.
South Carolina. You should have corrected me because I looked at it and I was like, why did I say USC? But I wrote it down USC thinking University of Southern California. No, University of Southern California.
Well, first you mentioned Iowa versus LSU. So I thought you were talking about 2 weeks ago. And then you mentioned USC versus UConn. I'm like, he's just talking about games from the Elite Eight, I guess. I'm confused.
No, I was all over the place with that. So I wrote down names and then I just didn't say what I needed to, with it being South Carolina, NC State in the Final Four, and then UConn, Iowa. The UConn, Iowa game was the offensive foul that, who knows if it was an offensive foul.
It was not.
The moving pick. So like that's where my wires got crossed because I was thinking of Angel Reese getting fouled out for some reason. And that was when she did, you know, have she committed an offensive foul. So my wires were all crossed, man. We do this at 9 o'clock at night. Sometimes it bothers me.
It's all good. Yeah. I mean, it's super impressive what South Carolina was able to do this season. They did not play a single game in this tournament, I believe. Let me see their closest game in this tournament. I don't know if there's any, you know, single digit games that they played. They played Indiana, which was a 4-point game. But other than that, everything was above double digits. So super impressive. And to me, one of the most important things looking forward was it wasn't just Camila Cardoza. You know, this team was deep from top to bottom. They had young players coming off the bench contributing in a high-level championship game, and they looked great. So I'm looking forward to see where they go next year. I'm hoping that the energy stays the way it is going into next year for the women's side of the college basketball tournament, because it was really fun this year. I know we're going to lose some stars to the WNBA, but there's still a lot of young players coming through and some really great teams after this year.
2 points to make for it, one being for the game, one being for the brand of women's basketball. First, I don't think enough credit is being thrown out there for a one Raven Johnson. Her defense... Like, you can't do it in the WNBA because there's four other women that are going to be damn good. Obviously, that's the reason why they're in the league. But she picked her up 94 feet and mirrored her the entire game. She's like, you are not going to Haley Von Lith me. Nope. But she's also the girl that Caitlin Clark waved off last year when she was at the three-point line. I remember that being a big thing. She was at three, and then she chose to not shoot it. And Clark was like, I'm not guarding you. Take the fucking shot. And she didn't take it. And so this season, like, people were like, oh, she's on a warpath. She wants to meet Caitlin Clark. And did she ever? Like, she's going to get her 40, right? That's greats are going to get their 40. But it's how hard did you make them work to get their 40? And did you make it so that nobody else could score? That's exactly what happened. They were like, go ahead and shoot 30 shots, 35 shots to score 40 points. But we're going to make it so that you can't get the ball to anybody else. And a big shout to Raven Johnson for stepping up in the biggest game of her career. Her defense was incredible. And the second point I wanted to make was about college basketball for women and you know, next year moving on. They're in good hands. There's two stars that one plays for the University of UConn, which I thought they were going to be able to pull it through, and that's Paige Beckers. She's already said she's coming back for another season. And then next player is who her coach said, I don't want to see her again. And that's Juju Watkins out at USC. I think that's part of the reason why I had USC on the mind, who is just one of the most gifted women athletes that has ever graced the basketball. Her post game, her dribbling, her shooting, her just the way that she moves around the court is very smooth, like Kyrie-esque. And I think that's going to help elevate the game as well. We may not see scoring and shooting like Steph Curry-wise, you know, again in the game of women's basketball, but I think Caitlin Clark left it in a good spot.
All right, I have some crazy shit before you get off and go to the men's side. Mm-hmm. Just about the growth of the women's game, because that's been the big theme this year, Caitlin Clark and all the media coverage. First, just something anecdotal. I went to the gym Sunday, got a nice little leg day in, you know, did my squats, right? Did my deadlifts. But once I walk up to the gym, you know, my gym has a basketball court. You have to walk by it when you go to the weight room. And there's a little girl, she's probably like 8 years old, shooting around with her dad. Championship Sunday for the women's game. Caitlin Clark jersey, Iowa.
Love that.
And I was just like, damn, this women's game is legit growing, because you might see a couple years ago this little girl at the gym wearing a Steph Curry jersey, a Jaylen Brown jersey, Jason Tatum jersey. But repping the Caitlin Clark Iowa jersey, I was like, wow, this is like really growing. You can actually see a grassroots moment. And then just numbers wise, Iowa LSU, 12 million viewers.
Broke the record, yep.
Broke the record until Iowa UConn, 14 million. Broke the record until Iowa South Carolina championship game, 18 million viewers. Guess what? You're thinking to yourself, what does that even mean, 18 million? Context. This was the highest rated, most watched basketball game since the 2016 NBA Finals.
Is that Cavs Warriors?
Yes. So this game between Iowa and South Carolina did more than any finals game in the NBA the past 4 or 5 years.
That's awesome.
That's insane. I will say, shout out to the women's side, putting the game on at 3 p.m. on a Sunday made it very easy to watch. Unlike
that time, baby.
Unlike, let me transition to the men's side. I was fucking rip shit when I'm like, oh, there's no
9 o'clock?
There were no NBA games on yesterday. So I'm like, oh, what the fuck? I guess I'll watch the national championship game. Let me see. It's probably on right now. I'm looking at 8 o'clock. It's on at 9. The tip off was 9:20. Are you kidding me?
I was kind of pissed about that too. Because I had played, this is how I got set up. I was like, all right, I'm going to throw it on in the background. Like, I just finished up my work day. Girls asleep. I'm going to go ahead and play a quick game of 2K. I'm going to go ahead and play a quick game of Madden. And, like, it should be, like, halftime by then. Nope, tip off. I was like, what the hell? Like, I don't want to keep playing video games. Like, I wanted to watch this while I was playing. So I was like, all right, I'm going to just go lay down in the living room. But, yeah. Men's game didn't do it right when it came to the tip-off time. I know that it was on a Monday, but those kids are out of school, man. Tip it off at 7 o'clock. Good game in the first half, and then just controlled in the second half. UConn has been an absolute, I would say, freight train in the second half of every single game they played this tournament, where the depth chart just, it's one after another player stepping up, another player stepping up. And then Tristan Newton being the AP tournament player of the year, like dropping 20 like it's nothing, whether it's a jump shot that you need to hit at the mid-range or going right at Edie. That layup that he hit was that like weird floater hook shot, throw it over the 7-footer, looked ugly, but it went in, but it was smooth at the same time. I don't know how he's able to do that. But it was a great coach game, and Hurley deserves his flowers for what he's been able to do over the past 2 seasons with that school.
Yeah, I mean, this is a super impressive feat for Hurley and UConn. The last team to go back-to-back championships was the 06-07 Florida Gators. If you remember that team, it was a team with Joakim Noah, Al Horford, who else was in there? There was a couple of another NBA players as well.
I'll try to find it for you.
Yeah, you can find it for me. You know, my biggest thing was, for me, I'm still thinking about the last game. Purdue got to this point based mostly on Zach Edey and his greatness in college. I appreciate the way UConn attacked Zach Edey. They put him in a lot of difficult situations where they did high pick and roll where he had to move away from the basket. He's obviously very good in the paint as a shot blocker. He had some really impressive blocks in the first half when they did try to attack him under the paint. But as the game progressed, they did more screens away from the basket, and the guards were able to kind of get around him with speed and get some layups in. And they put him in some tough situations. And also, I thought UConn center, another big fella himself at 7'2", Donovan Klingon, did a really good job matching up with him in the post. He got beat a few times on some really tricky post moves. But overall, he held his ground. He was obviously very well coached. He kind of knew his tendencies. And, you know, I think he put up a 30-10 or something like that. But still, I thought overall they did a fairly good job slowing him down and game planning well against Purdue.
Yeah, the plan was to get everyone else to try to score. And I think I get the teams mixed up. Purdue did have a secondary scorer. I want to say it was Braden Smith was his name. He was like their pseudo point guard, two guard, swinger and whatnot. And he struggled. I'm looking at it now, 4-for-12. Like there was no secondary scorer on their team. There was a big highlight dunk from their bench player. I think his name was Camden Hyde. But like there was nothing outside of just feeding the post to Edie. Their 3-point shooting was 1-for-7. And if you compare that to the week prior where like they were, beating up either Tennessee or NC State, they were hitting outside shots, which, kept them in those games. 10-for-25. And although it's 10-for-25, like that's still an extra 30 points that they received from shooting the 3-point shot compared to last night where they had one.
I'm sorry to cut you off. I thought you were done. My apologies.
It's cool, man. You can just continue cutting me off. It's cool.
I'm really good at it. I did get the 06-07 Florida Gator roster.
I have it here.
Oh, you got it too? Go ahead. No, you give me the players. How about this? We go back and forth. You give me one, I'll give you one. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Taurean Green, NBA player.
Corey Brewer.
Al Horford.
Lee Humphrey.
Joakim Noah.
That was the five.
I have Marquise Spates on this as well.
I don't know. No, that's Maurice Spates. Wow. I mean, I think he was there, but I don't think he played. He was a freshman.
Okay.
I don't think he played. That team was led by them being juniors and seniors.
By the way, just a random callback. We talked about Malachi Flynn putting up an unexpected 40. Corey Brewer, remember he put that a 50 piece
randomly?
Randomly, not a score at all.
Not only did he do that, he has probably the most egregious travel in the history of the NBA. We can't show it, obviously, because it's a podcast and show live, whatnot. But if you get a chance, just YouTube Corey Brewer travel. This man caught the ball. I don't know if it was a missed shot or a pass, but I can't remember. But he caught the ball at half court, and he didn't dribble to dunk. He literally didn't dribble. Just little, like 6 mini steps. And apparently refs are like, well, there's a gather step. There's the load step. There's the jump step. So it's not a travel. And it's like, no, he fucking traveled. Like he literally did it, dribbled the ball from half court to the hoop and he dunked it. So yes, the most egregious, something I'll always remember from Corey Brewer is one of the worst non-travel calls in the history of the NBA. It's bad.
I'm trying to look up. So Zachy's a senior this year. So yes. Purdue basketball, probably back to mediocrity after this. I don't know what Zach Edey's future is. I don't think he's an NBA player. He probably might be an overseas player or something like that if he so chooses.
I feel like just his frame though can be used. If there's dudes in the league like a DeAndre Jordan right now or Andre Drummond right now, like how can Edey not be somebody's seventh man, sixth man off the bench?
Boban. Yeah. Everyone knows Boban.
Boban. He plays in the league.
He's not good.
Exactly. But Edie is a little bit more offensively gifted. At least he can post up and do a move, shimmy, shake here, shimmy, shimmy, shimmy there. Like he can do something in the post. I don't see the AP player of the year just not getting drafted.
Boban's
unless
taco.
It's like the dude, huh?
Boban's Taco Fall.
No, he was better than Taco Fall. And yeah. Taco Fall got drafted in the NBA and played. So like you're proving my point.
If this was the year 1996, Zach
he's going number one overall.
He's going number one overall. But in 2024, man. If he is on a roster, it would be like, he's not getting drafted, obviously. It'd be something like he signs to a summer league contract and someone likes him and maybe he does like a two-way contract, but I don't see it, man. I see him more as like a overseas player somewhere, China or somewhere in the Euro leagues.
I think that's tough. If that is the case, that sucks for him because of his talent, especially when you have a what, nothing against the kid. I wish nothing but the best. Well, you have a Bronny James declaring for the NBA, a 6'5", undersized two-way guard. But he could get drafted, you know what I'm saying? And that's like, I would much rather have a Zach. I'm not saying Bronny can't be something at some point. And I know he came back from an incredible heart, you know, situation. Cardiac arrest is no joke. So I'm glad that he was able to play basketball, live, and then play basketball. We'll say that.
Shout out to being alive.
Yeah, man. Big Damar Hamlin type thing. But like, it's good that he's been talked about. I don't see how someone like Bronny James could get drafted, but not Zach Edey. That's what I would be.
Bronny James would not get drafted in any world unless they think it would be a package deal with LeBron. If his name wasn't Bronny James and it was...
If it wasn't LeBron James Jr., he probably wouldn't be getting drafted.
If it was Bronny Smith, he's not getting drafted. He also declared for transfer portal and draft. So I think it's one of those things where, like, if there's any indication that he's not getting drafted, which...
He's just going to transfer.
Which he probably should. Yeah, I mean, apart from the Zach Edey thing, they're just going back to the two teams. UConn looks like they're set up, man. You know, they have a really good system, good coach, and they have a lot of players that they can bring back, and they're building something special. I did have a random question I was talking to my wife about. She asked me, why is like UConn so good? Like, it's just a very random school to be good at things, you know, like the rest of their sports, no one really cares about. You know, we don't think of Connecticut as the basketball powerhouse.
No one cares about, of all people, representing Dartmouth High School. You're going to say that UConn has nothing else that they... Your boy JT going there and Anthony Sherman going there, and you can't talk about UConn football? Come on.
You want to talk about you know about UConn football. go ahead. They had a good run, though, when they were there. They went to the Fiesta Bowl.
They went to a BCS Bowl.
Ever since JT left, they've been awful. But I have a theory. Like, I'm just thinking, where do you think some of the best basketball players are in the world?
Out west, Cali.
Cali, but I would also say the Mecca of basketball, New York City. And I'm trying to think of, like, what are the legitimate schools in New York City, like the big schools?
Cuse.
That's upstate New York. That's farther than UConn.
Okay. I don't know. What is around there?
St. John's, maybe?
Like, is it UConn?
That is my point. I think UConn benefits from being the most prestigious historic basketball program in, you know, an hour and a half vicinity of New York City.
No, I mean, they got one New York player on their team.
Okay.
Yeah, they only got one. He's from Queens, the center, Diarra, Hassan Diarra. Everybody else is from Massachusetts, Southborough. Wow. Shout out to Southborough.
Nice.
A couple of Connecticut kids, a couple of Maryland, a couple of Georgia. In Virginia. So a lot of Northeast. I'll give him that. Definitely a lot of Northeast. Farthest is the dude that's from Texas, which was Tristan Newton, player of the year, player of the tournament. Sorry. Jalen Stewart was from Seattle. He's a freshman, but I don't know if he played all that much. He did play, actually.
All right. Yeah, so played. You totally debunked my theory. And we'll.
Sorry, man. I don't think. I think it's just the fact that UConn brings value based off of winning and bringing national championships to the school. You got greats like Ray Allen. You got Rip Hamilton, Emeka Okafor, Kemba Walker in his heyday. Like, these are dudes that, like, they're not only just cut players at the college level, but champions in college and in the pros. So, like, I think that separates the NCs or the Kentuckys or even Dukes, when, like, they have high prestigious coaches and those coaches get them to go to those schools. But UConn's just got the reputation of continuously winning no matter what stage college basketball is in.
I wonder if it helps too that they are primarily just a basketball school. Like, yeah. If you're a basketball player there, you're a god.
Yeah, very true.
That's pretty nice.
They're not splitting Duke and North Carolina trying to be football schools right now. And it's like, chill out, stick to basketball.
Not bad. All right, let's close out this tournament and go to a different tournament. Update our greatest rappers of all time tournament where we are in the finals ourselves. So like I said, I probably butchered explaining it last week, but we had the final four set in stone when we met last week. We are down to the finals. Or no, we had the Elite Eight set last week, and we went to the final four, and then we did another round and got to the final two. So we are now with the championship game, which we will open up voting this week. Again, it's on X at Frizz and Grizz. So find us so you can vote there. Rather than show you the bracket and what has played out in this past week with the voting of the fans, I'm going to play for you a song each from each of the finalists that will be playing for the title of the greatest rapper of all time. So our first championship team, the one seed.
Sight, new, Hank, Coco, Big Sir. Yeah. Y'all know how this shit go, you know.
All eyes on me. Buffalo
G. Roll up in the club. Right.
All eyes on me. All eyes on me.
You know what?
I bet you got it twisted, you don't know who to trust. So many player-hating niggas trying to sound like us. Say they ready for the funk, but I don't think they know it. Straight to the depths of hell is where them cowards going. Well, all you still down, nigga, holler when you see me. And let these devils be sorry for the day they finally freed me. I got a caravan of niggas every time we ride. Hitting motherfuckers up when we pass by. Until I die, live the life of a boss player. Cause even when I'm high, fuck with me and get gross later. The future's in my eyes. Cause all I want is cash and things. A 500 Benz for my flashy brains. Bitches pursue me like a dream. Been known to disappear before your eyes. It's like a dope thing. It seems my main thing was to be major. Paid the game sharper than the
So our first championship team, the number one seed Tupac, obviously a very worthy team to make it to the championship. I think he was the number two overall in the tournament. He was the number one going into
the one. Yeah,
he was the number one overall seed going into the tournament. So similar to UConn going into their tournament. A bit of a Cinderella run for our next championship contender. We have a five seed making it all the way to the finals. I do love the chaos in our tournament, and I appreciate all the voters making this happen. The next championship team is this.
Cause I'm bad for your health. I come real stealth, dropping bombs on your moms. Fuck call alarms. Do a foul crime, I'm that nigga with your Alpine. Soda 460. Always let tricks know and friends know we got that endo. No, I'm not a sucker sitting in a house of pain. And no, I'm not the butler. I'll cut ya, head cut ya. You say you can't touch this, and I wouldn't touch ya, punk motherfucker. Here I let you know, boy. Oh boy, I make dope, but don't call me dope boy. This ain't no fucking motion picture. I got your bitch up.
So our other championship team, Ice Cube, the five seed with a Cinderella run, taking out a lot of high seeds on the way. So we have Tupac versus Ice Cube to find out who the greatest rapper of all time is. D, what do you think of the matchup?
I like that it got here. Let me go ahead and share this just so people can see exactly what how it broke down. I love that it got to these two. I was expecting definitely somebody to come out of the left side, different, you know. I had, I think it was Drake and 50 Cent were my two, but I think Ice Cube is underappreciated with the way that he actually, what he brings to the rap game. Tupac, we know he can hit every style of music making, whether it's fast rap, slow rap, R&B hits. he hit pop when he was, you know, certain tracks, radio tracks that he, you know, that can stick for a very long time. Changes is still on the radio, obviously. But if we're going to talk about like lyric play and like hardcore rap, like the NWA and Q back in the 90s, he did his thing. So like it's not a surprise to see him here with what he can actually do. It's just crazy to see that he's beat some pretty good competition to get here, obviously.
Yeah, I think with Ice Cube, you cannot separate NWA from Ice Cube itself. So we're not taking just Ice Cube solo stuff here. We're also rapping in NWA because maybe it's just me, but for me, Ice Cube was NWA. I know that Eazy-E and Dr. Dre obviously had a very prominent producing career, but Ice Cube was by far, in my opinion, the strongest rapper in that group. Most of their most popular songs, Ice Cube's the one jumping off at the first verse. And he had a very successful solo career himself. Not only that, so you have a person who was a prominent member in a group that propelled gangster rap to like huge prominence in NWA. Super successful solo career. Very successful acting career.
Yes.
And then very successful businessman and now owning like a sports league in the Big Three, which, you know, I know it's a bit of a sideshow, but still like this man has been able to remain a prominent figure for over 30 years. So shout out to Ice Cube, man. He deserves his flowers here.
Absolutely. Being able to be like, to mold with the times, right? When, you know, you said that he has obviously the most memorable lines and most NWA songs, but he also has the hooks to it, or the, I would say, phrases that people remember. Fuck the police.
I was gonna play that. I was debating playing that song for my introduction for Ice Cube, but yeah, let's just do it now because I wanted to play it on the show.
Right about now, NWA court is in full effect. Judge Dre residing. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Eazy motherfucking E.
Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help your black ass?
You goddamn right.
Won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit, cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on and thrown in jail. We can go toe to toe in the middle of a sale. Fucking with me, cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product, thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. Be the police out of shape, and when I finish, bring the yellow tape to tape off the scene of the slaughter. Still getting swole of bread and water.
I think Ice Cube absolutely deserved to beat Drake, which he did, as far as a rapper, and beat Lil Wayne as far as rapping. Those guys, yeah. Club bangers. Ice Cube, fucking
rapper.
Rap fucking genius.
That's just, this is just, what's it called? Fuck the police, but like, he has the same thing in Straight Outta Compton. Hey, yo, Dre, I got something to say.
Yes.
And, you know, he drops his line. And it's just like he did it right. I think he got out of the rap game at the right time when people were killing motherfuckers and whatnot. And then he kind of like geared his life towards, you know, making money, movies and whatnot. And I think the music that he put out between 88 and 94 was just absolutely incredible.
On the flip side, I think Tupac is a very worthy opponent. Obviously, an illustrious career. A lot of radio hits still play today. A lot of his messages still carry today. Obviously, he had a bit of a acting career as well. And I think what he has that Ice Cube doesn't have is, obviously, when you die a tragic way, you're going to be remembered in a higher light. And I think Tupac has that advantage for him. But one thing with Tupac that I do appreciate, and I will give him the edge over Ice Cube personally, is some of his work had a softer side.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Mama.
Yep.
Right? So like he has one of the most, or the most ridiculous diss tracks and hit him up. But he also has some raps with a softer side and a lot of emotion that isn't like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you. So he is, in my opinion, a more rounded rapper. Yep. But I fucking love Ice Cube's style of just super aggressive, punchy in the face style rap. But for me, Tupac, because of his versatility, and because some of his messages still carry really strong today, I would pick Tupac over Ice Cube in the championship.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't even mention Ghetto Gospel,
yep.
Which is another, you know, great song that he has. Trying to think, there's another one that I feel like I used to hear it all the time, and I can't remember what it was.
I Ain't Mad At You.
Okay. It's another good song, another good slower style, like R&B, but like rap song that he has. He hit Thug's Mansion being another one. He hit so many different styles and was able to cater to so many different markets in the music industry. Different people at different parts of their lives were able to relate to Tupac's music. And even nowadays, like I said, Changes is still on the radio. And the verses that he has in Changes are still like truthful to this day.
Mm.
So, like, he was way ahead of it. No, he was properly placed in the 90s time, but he was thinking way ahead of his time compared to where we are right now as a society, knowing that shit wasn't going to be much different from where he was in the 90s.
I was going to say, do we have to put that on him as some sort of prophet, or more of just like, things have been fucked up for a long time and nothing has changed?
Yeah, shit's been the same, bro. Like, different shit, same toilet. It just happens to be, or same shit, different toilet. I think that's what it is. It just happens to be more broadcast now. There's social media showing everything.
That's fair.
But it's really not much change. We don't need to get like too deep into that, but like it's the same stuff. It just happened. Tupac saw what was going on and was able to put it on tracks and do a music, and now it's just out there on social media.
All right, one more Tupac song, your choice, before we get out of here and close out.
My choice. Oh, you could umbus.
I'll just jump on with it and pick one if you want. I was
gonna
go ahead.
Let me listen to some How Do You Want It. That's a nice little R&B with Casey and JoJo. I like that one.
I got you.
Your ass out. Got a nickel wanting it so bad I'm about to pass out. Wanna dig you, and I can't even lie about it, baby, just alleviate your clothes. Time to fly about it, catch you at a club. Oh shit, you got me feeling, body talking shit to me, but I can't comprehend the meaning. Now if you wanna roll with me, then here's your chance. Do an 80 on the freeway, police catch me if you care. Forgive me, I'm a rider, still I'm just a simple man. All I want is money, fuck the fame, I'm a simple man. Mr. International, player with a passport, just like a ladder, bitch, get you anything
for. So that's our championship, Tupac versus Ice Cube. Remember, vote on X, you know, it's a Twitter thing, at Frizz and Grizz. It's one word. I'll put out the final championship matchup probably, what, today's Tuesday, probably late Wednesday. We'll open that up for about 4 days, so it's a good amount of time to vote. I'd be surprised if Ice Cube won, but I'm not going to say there's no chance. Never say never. That would be wild, but we'll see what the fans want to do. It's time, D. Let's get out of here. Let's get to our closing takes. Appreciate you guys all for watching. It's our last little hoorah.
The show is coming to an end. But first, it's time to get to anything we've missed. It's closing time. One segment, two takes. Knuckle.
Closing takes. It's time for me and D to go off script. We each get one shot, one ISO opportunity, whatever you want, sports, pop culture, doesn't matter. I'm going to take the ball first, D. I'm Ball Hog. I got a great one. I saw this story on Wednesday, right after we taped last week, and I'm like, oh, buddy, I got my closing take for next week. Are you ready for the headline?
I'm listening.
sports headline from the 19th hole. So it's some golf. I know you love your golf.
I have been.
Report. Tiger Woods has eliminated sex in preparation for the 2024 Masters. Tiger is
abstinence, baby.
No nutting November in the month of April to prepare for the Masters. D, are you in on the abstinence to get ready for the Masters for Tiger Woods?
Way out on that, man. He's too old to be doing that, man. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy as much time as you can while you can. So, I mean, I'm glad that he's taking the shit serious. We all know that his back is all fucked up, so we don't need him getting
now. I know
even
why
harder.
His back's always fucked
up. I'm saying,
up.
Bro, like, yeah, he be thrusting a little bit too much. Getting old, bro. Let somebody else do all the work. But essentially, I read that same story. I was like, damn, bro, like this is a story. Like, we're really talking about this. But I mean, it made headlines, and here we are talking about it.
D, you think what I'm thinking? We put a little juice on Tiger plus 1300 to win the tournament.
You know damn well I'm going to throw some money on it just because of his name. I think it's still going to be either Jon Rahm or...
What is his odds? It has to be something Scheffler. Crazy.
Well, Scheffler is going to win, but I'll throw some money on Woods taking it. Why not?
I mean, he's not having sex. What else is he focused on? And we know, you know, his problems in the past have primarily come from sex. So
yep, we'll swinging a stick, and we're not talking about the Nyan.
Oh, dude, you deserve a little Kawhi Leonard laugh for that one. Hold on 1 second. That was beautiful. I'll get the odds for Tiger Woods after, so we know how much bread we can throw in. D, what do you got for me?
So I got a good one, long-winded, but it, you know, usually we're talking shit and giving disrespect, but I'm actually gonna give a lot of respect to somebody that brought me in and allowed me to like just become a kid again. And that was one Paul Levesque, also known as Triple H, Hunter Hearst.
Oh,
Hemsley.
Nice.
Did you watch WrestleMania?
Nah, I didn't watch WrestleMania.
No worries, man. So
fill me in.
Yeah, so like a great show that essentially recapped everything, like almost like Endgame with the Avengers. Story started with Cody Rhodes back at WrestleMania 39, him losing to Roman Reigns, and it started the story. And essentially, this match would allow people that, you know, The Rock was back in, you know, in being involved because his cousin is Roman Reigns, you know, the Samoan heritage and whatnot. And it brought you back. It's like, oh man, Rocky's back in wrestling and he's a heel. So like I peeped Raw here and there. You know, I'm like, Dwayne's in it. I'm here for it. But how it ended was perfect. So in the middle of, you know, we'll go ahead and give this out for him because this is. Can you hear that?
Yeah, I'll lower mine. Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't hear it, actually.
Can you hear it?
Adrenaline in my soul. Every time I'm out of control. Do it all to get them off the beat.
This part right here. So the crowd would go nuts when they did that, right? Everybody in the crowd would, oh, it was dope. And so not only did this happen, so the, you know, Cody Rhodes is fighting Roman Reigns, and then all of a sudden this happens.
I'm getting goosebumps right now.
So them horns hit and people go fucking nuts. It brought me back to being a little kid because I'm like, dog, all right, John Cena coming back out of nowhere. Like, I'm a big fan of that. And then obviously,
smell what The Rock is cooking.
And now I know that I said that there was a story behind this, and we had our own show, right, about just wrestling. Who is the WrestleMania figure? The guy that, like, you think WrestleMania, you think of one person. Who would you say it was?
Hulk Hogan?
I guess so, but there was a guy that held a record for the longest undefeated streak for a very, very long time. And out of fucking nowhere, this happened.
Undertaker?
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
So that would be the fucking Undertaker. Dog, when I say the place went fucking nuts, everybody went bananas. They had Cena, Rock, Taker, all these old heads, motherfuckers that can't walk down the aisle without limping and whatnot. John Cena got a big ass bald spot. And then, you know, Undertaker choke slams The Rock. Cody gets the title from Roman. It was just like one of these crazy moments of like, yo, this like the Avengers, like motherfuckers just came in. Here comes Captain America. Here comes Iron Man. Here comes Hulk. Like there's just one after another of just bringing you back to like the 90s. And Cody Rhodes ends up winning the championship. Just a great story, a great finish for somebody like myself. Like, again, I watched Raw because I was like, oh, I want to see how this like turns out. Very similar to like women's basketball where it could this be like the turn of becoming a fan again? I don't know. We'll see. But like they captured me for a little bit. So I wanted to give, you know, shouts to Triple H for taking over with what we did talk about, the whole McMahon thing. Like we don't go too deep into it. But like he's been taking over as like the head of like the WWE and he put together a great story. So like it brought me back in. I want to say thank you because like it was cool to be a little kid again, like getting goosebumps in wrestling. Usually you don't, but like certain shit that brings you back.
Let me ask you something. Did you pay for it?
No, I fucking paid for it.
I knew it.
Just make enough money. They don't need my money. I'll watch it somewhere for free.
You're like, you're going to bring me back and I'm not going to give you a fucking dime.
Not a goddamn penny from me. You better put on a show over here at the RCU Center.
By the way, just a quick re-update. Tiger Woods to win the Masters plus 14,000 D. He hasn't had sex plus 14,000. That means you put 10 bucks on 1,400 back. I'm just saying.
I'm going to go ahead and do that. Don't worry.
I'm just saying.
Sports betting already got my money. God damn it. Why not throw in another 10 bucks?
Oh, good fucking show. Get us out of here, man.
All right. We really do appreciate you guys being here when it comes to either watching us live or listening to us tomorrow on all of your platforms. You can find us podcast-wise. So you can find us live here on Twitch. You can find us on YouTube. And you can find us on Facebook streaming live Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock. Or next day, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any platforms that you can go ahead and get your podcast from. Normally, our website is at the bottom, but it ain't there. My producer didn't put it there.
It was there, and I had to take it down for the tournament thing, so it wasn't in the way.
It's not there right now, so I'm going to just go ahead and say that it's not there. www.frizzandthegrizz.com. You can find us. Obviously, we don't have any merchandise, so you guys can't rep any sweatshirts, but one of these days, we might make it big if you guys hit that sub channel or hit that sub button. Get us paid so that we can go ahead and get you guys some gear. More importantly, while we're hitting the body here, it's the summertime. Be a friend. Save a friend. Say something nice. I love that phrase. Make sure y'all take care of y'all mentals. Please make sure y'all take care of y'all physicals. Take care of y'all chicken. Take care of y'all children. And we'll catch y'all on the rebound.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid.